Welcome back for another big hour of Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we're still here at the 19th annual EWTN Catholic Radio Conference in Birmingham, Alabama, getting to see all of the impressive people at EWTN, the hosts and the engineers and all of the social media people, and we're having a great time. And then people who are involved in Catholic radio from all around the country and, in fact, all around the world. I've met people from quite a few different places here. And this hour, we welcome one of the hosts of Catholic Radio on EWTN with his wife, Lisa. He hosts More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. You guessed it. It's Dr. Greg Popchak. Thank you for doing the...
I get a fanfare. It's in my rider.
Yeah, you're also the founder and director of the Pastoral Solutions Institute and the author of many books, but your newest book is Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety from our Sunday Visitor.
That's right.
And
I'm not worried about it at all.
No, you feel pretty cool about this?
I feel pretty confident about this.
I was very pleased to hear at lunch that if no callers came, you could just pretend to be a caller. You can do voices.
I'm going to do a radio,
hello, Dr. Popchak,
radio puppet show.
Radio puppetry. Oh, it's the best kind of puppetry. if you have worries in your life, anxieties that you deal with, if you'd like to know how your faith and how a good sense of modern understanding of human psychology, but not just modern, but I suppose you include all of the, I mean, the medievals had some good understandings of Catholic psychology.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I don't mean to limit it to the modern era. You being a Renaissance man, I didn't...
Because I do puppets, too.
Yeah. Yes, right. If you have any questions in that regard, 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Sometimes I'm anxious. Sometimes I'm not confessing to you, but these are the truths probably about every human being. Sometimes I'm anxious. Sometimes I'm worried. Sometimes I'm just concerned about things. What, in your mind, what's the difference between a worry and a concern?
Well, yeah, one of the things I think it's important to make a distinction, because we often find ourselves in the position of giving our worries or anxieties to God, and then, you know, half an hour later, they end up back in our lap
for
some reason.
Right.
And I think that we have this idea that if we could just be faithful enough, if we could just be good enough Christians, that we could just bliss out and not have to ever be worried about anything or ever concerned about anything. And I think and that's why I like to make that distinction between a worry and a concern. A worry is when I get stuck in a sense of powerlessness and focused on the problem and feel this kind of, oh my gosh, I have to do something about it, but there's nothing I can do. But I have to do something, but there's nothing I can do. But I have to do something. And then we just sort of spin. And the more we get into that tornado, the more anxious we become. A concern, though, is where you see that there is a problem and you identify that issue and you say, okay, you know, what resources do I have to deal with that? How can I make a plan to address it? What people are around to help me with this? So I'm reaching out for those resources and that support and developing a plan to address that concern. And so when I give my worries to God, the concern sometimes stays there because I still have to address the issue.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So just be, you know, I give it to God, but then God says, okay, I'll take those worries, but let's work together on the concern, because he wants to be my partner and accompany me through that issue. Sometimes he'll take it away. That's wonderful. But in those times where the concern still remains, he's giving me the grace to address it. And we don't need to beat ourselves up for that coming back to us, because what God is really saying is let's walk through this together. Right?
Yes.
Instead of, I'm just going to take it away and it's magically going to disappear.
Right.
It's, I'm going to give you the grace and we're going to walk through this together now.
That gives me a much probably healthier, so then I can accept that if the concern didn't just evaporate, that's not necessarily a problem. That's kind of a feature. Like you're supposed to be working your way
through
life.
That's right. That's right. And what it's a recognition that God wants to walk with me through this and will use this situation for my good and the good of all involved, right? So I can put my trust in that and not feel like I've somehow failed God if I'm still concerned about this problem that's in front of me.
Yes.
Because it's really unrealistic to think that I shouldn't be concerned about things that are concerning. But I don't have to worry about them.
Right, right. Well, let me ask you this then. I mean, I wonder how much we have been infected as Christians also with the idea that if we just have faith, we can do anything, which is, in a sense, what the scripture teaches, but we maybe get the wrong sense of it, that if I just have faith, that'll overcome all my problems.
Right. I mean, I won't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's one thing to think if I have faith that God will give me the grace and the resources and the support of the people around me that I need to persevere in the face of this trial and to hopefully come out the other end of it stronger and better and healthier because of it.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But if I'm saying, oh, you know, if I just have enough faith, I won't have any problems. Well, that's not really Christianity at all. You know, that's the secret.
Yes, it is. It's a kind, but there is a kind of a Christian version of the secret.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I don't put it out to the universe, but I put it out to God.
And then so God just magically makes it all disappear.
Yeah.
That's not the way it works. That's not the way life works. He you know, God is an incarnational God. He's part of reality. And so he wants to walk us through the real stuff so that he can use those experiences to facilitate our healing. So, yeah, we're going to still have concerns in our lives, but we don't have to worry about those concerns because he supplies all of our needs through Christ Jesus.
888-318-7884 is our number. 888-31-TRUTH. Dr. Greg Popcheck is our guest this hour, and we're talking about his book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. And if you have questions in that vein, please give us a call. 888-318-7884. We hear sometimes that young people today are super anxious, and that we almost have this... almost like a, I guess it's an image of the millennial as this tremendously anxious person in some ways. Is it getting worse, anxiety, or?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Well, here's something that's really interesting. The brain is actually, biologists teach us that the brain is actually wired to emphasize negative information over positive information.
Okay.
So, except in one condition, and that's when we feel connected to other people. And if you think about it from an evolutionary sort of standpoint, if I'm walking through the woods by myself, I got to watch out and be on hyper alert. Otherwise, I'm going to get at. Right?
Yeah, right.
But if I'm walking through the woods with my tribe and I got people to have my back, I can relax and enjoy the woods, right?
Yes.
So our brains are wired to be nervous unless we feel connected. And we live in an age where we are more wired to each other, but less connected than ever. And so it's not unusual. It makes perfect sense that millennials or anybody in our generation would feel more anxious because in many ways we're much less connected to each other than we ever have before. Terry Pratchett, the science fiction writer, has a book called Good Omen, Bad Omen. And in it, he kind of does a lampoon of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's the end times, right? And the four horsemen come riding out on Harleys, right? And it's famine is he comes out, and his shtick is that he creates this food that you can eat as much of as you want, but it has absolutely no nutritional value.
Yeah.
So the more you eat it, the more you starve to death.
Yes, I eat some of that food.
That's where we are, though, in our society today. We are more wired than ever, but less connected than ever.
Yeah.
And we have more connections with people all over the place, but we feel more lonely than ever. And it's given us this false sense of connection that's actually causing anxiety because we feel so isolated. So, yeah, I think absolutely millennials and a lot of people in this generation are much more anxious than ever before, primarily because of that detachment that we all experience and that isolation that we feel.
That isolation, though, then it strikes me that especially, I mean, you hear about the, I don't know if it's epidemic proportions, but certainly rampant proportions of men being primarily involved with pornography as far as that's their primary relationship, or that pornography is a big part of it's central to their lives, and people being addicted to the internet, to Facebook, to all these things. And it strikes me that the more you feel isolated, the more you're going to get drawn down into these things. But the more you're drawn down into these things, the more isolated you are.
That's right.
It's a double-on effect.
Exactly. And we end up becoming stuck in an obsessive relationship with those things because, you know, it can make us feel better for, you know, that 30 seconds that we're doing whatever that is that we're doing. But then afterward, it's just this intense sense of loneliness and isolation and guilt, whatever. Which just feeds the anxiety. And then if you don't realize what's really going on there, and I actually talk about that specific issue in my book, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart, in the chapter on lust, where I talk about how the divine longing behind lust is the divine longing for communion.
Yes.
And if we just see this as a problem of attraction and not see it as a problem or an issue of a lack of connection, then we end up developing an obsessive relationship with the pornography, for example, that causes even more and more and more isolation. But it's the same thing with follow this. It's that the more connected we can be to God and to the people around us, the more secure we're going to feel. That's not to say that we're never going to have anxiety and never going to be worried if we have great relationships. But if I know that I can count on these 10 people to show up for me whenever I need them, I know that I, you know, because of my relationship with God, that I feel confident that God's going to show up for me, I'm going to be a lot less nervous and a lot less worried, a lot less anxious than somebody else who doesn't have those connections, doesn't have that support, and doesn't have that connection to God.
Yeah, in my own life, there was a period where I worked at home. So I lived at home when my wife would let me. And then I worked at home. And I found after a while, it wasn't good for me. And maybe some people can be good at it because they'll get out and go. Mm-hmm. But I find I need to be gotten out. You know, got to have somewhere to go every day or I start. And I hadn't thought about it before, but it's a loss of connection.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So it's, if you can go into, for example, an arrangement like that, realizing, but I need to still find some way to meet that connection need.
Yeah.
You can do it. But if you're not aware of that, then it can kind of eat you up.
Yeah. 888-318-7884 is our number. Our guest is Dr. Greg Popcheck from More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck, and from many other things, including... tell me the counseling, the phone counseling.
Yeah, CatholicCounselors.com.
CatholicCounselors.com.
And then we do a telephone counseling, a Catholic integrated practice. I have 9 therapists that work with me, and we provide counseling for Catholics all over the world, marriage, family, and individual therapy.
And also the author of the brand new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Greg Popcheck and your calls for him when we come back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines an indulgence as a remission before God of the temporal punishment due to sins whose guilt has already been forgiven. But is it biblical to say punishment remains after God has forgiven our sins and that we can do something to satisfy it? I think it is. For example, David is forgiven of his sin in 2 Samuel 12, but yet must suffer the death of his son. Even Jesus teaches in Luke 12 that the servant who sins without full knowledge will be punished, but in a lesser degree. It is such temporal consequences that indulgences remit. Exercising her power to bind and loose, the Church grants indulgences to help her children heed St. Paul's exhortation in Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation. So, is the Catholic understanding of an indulgence biblical? You bet it is. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio with Matthew Bunsen. Join us every week as we talk with the Register's expert writers and editors about the news you need to know and offer authentic Catholic insights on the important stories that impact your life. Register Radio, every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern and Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host. Dr. Greg Popcheck is our guest, and we are in the comfy chairs here at the 19th Annual EWTN Catholic Radio Conference. And if you hear a little noise, it's because folks are gathering around here to get ready for the big banquet tonight. Dr. Popcheck's latest book is Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. It's from our Sunday Visitor Press. And if you have worries or anxieties that you'd like to talk about, or a family member that you'd like to talk about in that regard, 888-318-7884. I'm going to calls, Dr. Popcheck, but I just want to point out, I'm looking at this giant picture of you and Lisa right there.
It's terrifying. It's actually worrying me right now.
I just wanted you to notice this. It looks out upon the entire gathering here.
I'm gazing.
Guess
up.
Who's on the back side of that?
I don't know. I can't see it. I've not been back there all day.
Yeah,
I don't know who's
no
over
one
there.
Goes back there. That's my picture. I just want you to know, see? I'm on the back of your picture.
Yeah, I saw actually you out here earlier trying to move like some of the other people around. So you can
I'm going to take Gloria Purvis's picture down later. I think I might have told Tom Price this already. I don't know. I'm going to take Gloria's picture down and put my picture.
You got to get a better contract, man.
is it a contract thing?
Yeah. You have to, for positioning on the marquee and all that.
Yeah, I have a feeling it was just one of the. Oh, that's scary. Face that way.
way.
Trust me. If they have me facing out, they did not think about that at all. I'll tell you what, face for radio right here.
Let's go to Ann in Michigan, listening on Holy Family Radio. Ann, you are on with Dr. Greg Pupchak. Your question, please.
Hi. Yeah. So I had a coworker express concern to me today. Her daughter just went off to college this last fall, and she's concerned that she's not going to church. And so she's expressing all of this anxiety to me as a coworker. And it's kind of a weird relationship because we're both Catholic, but she's still just a coworker. So, like, what's some good tips, like, to how to address that when it's not a super close relationship, but we still have that kind of faith connection?
You know, I think the most important thing, and it's going to sound super obvious, but I can't tell you how many times we'll suggest this on our radio program and just sort of get this dead silence and shock on the other end. The best thing that you can do is encourage your friend to talk to her daughter about it, to really kind of witness about, you know, why, what, not lecture her. Right, not lecture her, but actually say, you know, honey, my faith is so important to me, and I really wanted to pass this on to you. This has been so important to me, and I see that you're not living it out whenever you're in college. What's going on? Let's talk about it, and to actually invite that conversation, because, and again, we'll say this to people, and it sounds so obvious, but then they're like, wow, I never really thought about that, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think the best thing that you can do is actually encourage your friend to go and actually talk with her daughter and have an honest, not lecture, but honest heart-to-heart conversation about the role God is playing in your friend's life. And why it's so important to your friend that she, you know, that her daughter also have that relationship, and begin talking maybe about how your friend got that relationship with God in the first place, and how her daughter maybe could have that same kind of relationship too, and just, you know, find out where her daughter is in that whole process, because I bet you there are probably some questions that her daughter has that she hasn't thought to ask mom, and that mom hasn't thought to ask her, and getting that conversation started is just really critical. That anxiety she's feeling, I would suggest, it begins as a kind of a prompting of the Holy Spirit to say, hey, look, there's a concern here, like I was talking about with Sai in the first segment. There's a concern here that I want to address with you and walk through it with you. But where it becomes an anxiety is where we stop that movement of the Holy Spirit and we suddenly say, well, but I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. And she might not like the conversation, and I wouldn't even know where to start anyway. And
yeah.
So we block all that grace, and then we just start feeling all worried and nervous and anxious inside because I have to do something, but there's nothing I can do, but I have to do something, but there's nothing I can do. You know, we start to spin out at that point. So yeah, just encourage her to go talk to her daughter and begin that conversation. And we actually have a lot of good conversation starters about that kind of topic in our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. Take a look at the chapters on young adults and how to begin those conversations there. I think it'll be a big help to you. That's Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. You can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com with many other resources we have.
Ann, thank you so much for that call. I hope that that was helpful. Dr. Greg Pupchak is our guest. We're talking about his book. And the ideas expressed therein, the book is named, the latest book by Dr. Pupchak, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. Let us go now to Todd in Portland, listening on 100.5 FM. Todd, your question for Dr. Greg Pupchak.
Oh, hi. Given all the child molestation throughout the Catholic Church, I'm wondering if you and your guest have ever molested a child.
Todd, thanks for the call, and we're happy to talk about it with you, but you've been doing this lately, Todd, where you call and you tell us that you want to talk about one thing, and then what you really want to talk about is child molestation. And I have to say, I don't want to interrupt your answer,
no,
Dr. Pupchak, but I feel like we should talk about this. This is a very good topic to talk about, and I wish you would feel confident to tell our call screener that you want to talk to us about molestation in the Catholic Church. That's not our topic today. But in general, I don't think we're trying to shy away from that question, and we welcome your call, Todd. Did you want to add anything, Dr.
Well,
Pupchak?
I mean, it's a crank call, obviously, but here's the thing. I mean, you know, it's a serious topic, and it deserves to be addressed. You know, we talk about it pretty regularly on our radio program, More to Life. And we do a lot of work with abuse victims in our practice at CatholicCounselors.com. I've actually been consulting with different dioceses, including the Diocese of Pittsburgh, on how to respond in a healthy way to these concerns that Catholics have. So this is not something we're running away from. But I will say this, Todd, you know, shame on you for making light of a very serious situation by calling up with a crank call about this. There are a lot of people who are really hurting and a lot of people who are really suffering. And I know that you think that you're trying to address this in a way that that you see is appropriate, but it's really making light of a very serious and very painful situation. And I hope that you'll repent of that.
God bless you, brother, and perhaps we will talk again. Our number, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884, Dr. Greg Popchak, our guest, and we are talking about anxiety. His latest book is Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. We go now to Nilda, I believe is how it is pronounced. You have to correct me if I'm wrong. Is that correct, Nilda?
Yes, I understand.
Do we have Nilda with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad we got you. I think with just a little bit of confusion because we're out of state at the moment, but you are on with Dr. Greg Popchak. Your question, please.
Oh, yes. My question is how you can be in control where, as a person, you are not constantly anxious and worried. I'm not a young person, and I've raised 5 kids. They are older now. But I have one, the last one, have disabilities. And even if she's an adult, young adult, I'm still thinking, what is going to be her life without me? Nobody have the patience and the ability to control, to be in control while being patient with the person that requires so much.
So let me ask you, Nilda, I'm sorry, just to interrupt for just a second. Are you asking about your daughter or about yourself, being anxious about her?
Me, I'm the person who is overwhelmed with worries and anxiety.
Okay. Well, you know, and there are lots of different ways that we can begin to address anxiety. You know, in the book, Unworried, I begin by helping people understand that there are sort of different causes of anxiety. Because everybody's experience of anxiety is a little different. You know, we talk about it as if it's one thing. But in reality, it can be caused by lots of different things. And so I go through the physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual contributors to anxiety. And then I help people kind of develop a profile for where are their strengths so they can build on those, but also where are those areas what they need to grow in so that they can address those weaknesses and begin to experience less anxiety. Now, I will give you just a basic tip to get you started. And that's building what we were talking about before. All those things that you're anxious about, the answer has to be, what can I do to find the one small step I can take to begin to address it in some small way? A lot of times when I talk to people who are struggling with anxiety, I say, so what would you like to do about this thing that you're worried about? And they go, I just don't know. There's nothing I can do. And if I unpack that, what usually happens is they say they're thinking about it too big. They're thinking, what's the one thing I could do to clear this whole problem off the board in one fell swoop? And of course, the answer usually is nothing, because most of our problems are too complicated for that. So then we feel stuck and we feel powerless. And then we go into that rumination tornado that I was talking about earlier that builds up all that anxiety. The question you need to ask yourself, Nilda, at all times is, what's the one tiny thing I could do right now to begin to address this problem, whatever that problem is? Do I need to call somebody? Do I need to read a book? Do I need to go ask for some help? Do I need to pace myself differently? Do I need to whatever, right? What's one small thing I could either do to address this problem right now, or what's one small thing I can do to make myself feel a little bit stronger or a little bit better to begin to be able to address this problem? Either of those questions is going to help us feel less anxious, because the best cure for anxiety is feeling like I've got at least a plan to address one small thing. If I can say, well, I don't know what to do about this big problem, but at least I can do something about this, then the anxiety drops at least a point, right? And if I can say, okay, now I did that, so now what's the next small thing I can do? And I can't do anything about the whole thing, but I can do something about this, and then take that next step, and it drops down another half a point, right?
Uh-huh.
And then bit by bit by bit, I can nibble away at that anxiety. If I try to swallow it in one big gulp, then I'm going to choke on that sense of powerlessness, because I can't get it all down in one swallow.
Nilda, I'll leave it there. I have to admit to you, we had Dr. Popchak did better than I did. It was a little difficult for us to hear in this room for that call, so I will leave it there. But thank you so much for that call. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. Dr. Greg Popchak, as I said, is our guest, and we are talking about worry or anxiety. His latest book is Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. If I may just ask you, Dr. Dr. Popchak, are there people for whom anxiety itself is a medical issue? That is to say, there's something I have known some people, for example, who have panic attacks, and it doesn't seem to be connected to a psychological issue. It actually seems like something's wrong in their body, and I wonder about that.
Yeah, well, anxiety begins as a physical phenomenon.
Okay.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that it is exclusively physical. So, for example, every choice we make, every thought we think, every feeling we have, every relationship we have sends a wash of chemicals through our body, right? And if some of those things aren't healthy, it's going to change my body chemistry and start to trigger some of those anxious responses.
Gotcha.
And sometimes that part of my brain that's responsible for anxiety can get a little bit of a hair trigger because of those things. You can still heal that, though, with behavioral choices.
Oh, wonderful. Dr. Greg Popchak is our guest. We're coming to you live from the EW10 Catholic Radio Conference. More right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Your questions, Catholic Answers Live.
As Catholics, we hear expressions like dogma, doctrine, deposit of faith, and of course, magisterium. And adding to the confusion, we have the ordinary magisterium and the extraordinary magisterium. So what if you were looking for one book written for the layman that explained what all these terms mean and how they interact in the lives of the Church and her faithful? The fact is, no such book existed until now. Brand new from Catholic Answers Press is Jimmy Akin's latest book, Teaching with Authority. Teaching with Authority is not about specific church teachings, it's about church teaching itself. A unique and long overdue resource for Catholics as well as those inquiring about the faith, Teaching with Authority will help deepen your understanding of what the church teaches by showing you how, why, and where she does. Get your copy of Teaching with Authority today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging onto the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Is it possible to know when life begins? Shouldn't women be able to control their own bodies? What if a pregnant woman's life is in danger? In 20 Answers, Abortion, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more. You'll deepen your understanding of this critical moral issue and gain the knowledge you need to explain it to others. 20 Answers, Abortion is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. If you just don't understand something about the Catholic faith, Call to Communion is the show for you. Join us Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, coming to you live from the floor of the 19th annual EWTN Catholic Radio Conference here in Birmingham, Alabama, where I'm told they have some good barbecue, but I have not experienced it yet. So I'm looking forward to that.
Gotta get out more, Si.
I know. That's actually true. I don't know if you're diagnosing me, but that is actually true.
Well, that's confidential. I'm not allowed to speak to that.
Okay. But I've got the names of a couple places that are supposed to be good, so I'm thinking of visiting them. Our number, if you want to talk to Dr. Greg Popchak about his brand new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, is 888-318-7884. If you prefer the spelled version, it's 888-31-TRUTH, 888-31-TRUTH. We go now to Lori in Louisiana. Lori, thank you for your call. You are on with Dr. Popchak. Your question, please.
Hi, Dr. Popchak. I am wondering or looking for recommendations on how to deal with the anxiety or fear of with the current mass shootings and school shootings and so forth. I have children who are in college, just a new empty nester, and I just am having a lot of anxiety about the way with these shootings and my children not being home. And,
let me ask you a question. So that has, I mean, obviously, this is tremendously upsetting for all of us, and I think traumatizing for all of us. We see the news, the horrible situation in California today, and I just really invite all the listeners to please keep all of them and their families in your prayers. But you said something really interesting to me. You said that now that the kids are in school, you're a recent empty nester. Has this just been, have you been more anxious about this since the kids have been gone?
Yes, my youngest just went off to college, and I've been anxious about the elder one, but now it's kind of like I have more time to worry, I guess.
So I don't want to. The concern about the shootings is real, and you know that's obviously a serious concern. So I don't want to not address that. I'll come back to it in a second. But I think the thing that you need to look at here, a lot of times anxiety makes us worry about something that we can't do anything about, which prevents us from doing the things that we could do something about. And what I'm going to suggest to you is that as horrible as these shootings are and as much anxiety as they do produce for all of us, I wonder if what's really happening here is that you're not anxious about how can I maintain a connection with my kids now that they're gone. How can I, what's really, I'm worried that I don't know where they are, what's going on. I don't feel that closeness, right, that I was talking about earlier in the segment, when our brains start to emphasize negativity whenever we feel disconnected from the people that we love. And so my suggestion to you, which I think would be much more practical for you than anything I could say in the abstract about how to deal with the news articles and news stories about shootings and that sort of thing, is talk more about how you can create little rituals of connection with your kids to maintain that the connection, like whether that's a regular call that you have, a date to talk to them every couple of days, or you sign up for some online game that you can play together and stay in touch with each other throughout the day. Create those little rituals of connection that allow you to maintain that sense of closeness and connection with the kids, so that that can help take the pressure off your brain and keep it from emphasizing the negative information, because you're fighting that by working on building up that relationship, that you're feeling a little bit of that distance because they're not around so much anymore. And I wonder if you could focus on how can I build that relationship, if that would take down the other anxiety as well. So because the more you focus on the how can I stop worrying about the news, the more you're going to be worried about the news. But the more you take that anxiety and say, you know what, how can I create connection with my kids, the more you're going to experience greater peace because of that connection that you're feeling.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, good.
Very good. Lori, thank you very much. Let's go to Maria in Oklahoma, listening on Catholic Radio there. Oh, I just met the folks from Oklahoma Catholic Radio.
Yeah, the Fennells, good people.
Yeah, really good people. Yeah, well, they were at lunch with us.
That's right.
Yeah. Maria, your question for Dr. Greg Popchak.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yes, my question is, I have a son, he's a young man, early 20, and I see that he has a lot of, he's insecure, and lately he is experiencing a lot of anxiety, and we have a good relationship, so he talks to me about that. I told him that it would be good for him to go to a therapist, to see a therapist, to help him how to deal with this issue. He says yes, that he's going to go, and I take my time to look for Christian therapists, but now when I'm listening to Catholic radio, my question is, do you think that it would be beneficial for him if he does a therapy over the phone, like you were suggesting the Catholic counselors?
Yes. Okay.
So I'm sorry. So would it be beneficial if he went to a therapist who
over the phone?
Over the phone. Oh. Okay. Over the phone. Yeah. I mean, we do a lot of this work over the telephone, and you know, our experience has been that it's particularly useful on a couple of different levels. First of all, for people who travel a fair amount, and most people are pretty mobile these days, for people who have a hard time kind of getting to a therapist regularly for various reasons. Also for folks who are looking for somebody who can really understand their experience from the Catholic perspective as well. And you know, what research, there have been over, well over two dozen studies now that look at what's called rather pretentiously in the literature behavioral telehealth. It's, you know, telephone counseling. But yeah, behavioral telehealth treatment over and over again has been shown to be as effective as face-to-face counseling. So, you know, our practice, you know, we have, I have nine therapists that work with me. We see over 15,000, we do over 15,000 sessions a year with clients all over the world. We treat anxiety issues, obsessive compulsive problems, marital problems. Really, it's a full service practice. So we'd be happy to work with him. The thing I would say to you, you know, because I thought your original question was, you know, should you take him to a therapist at all? And for those folks who are listening and who are dealing with some kind of anxiety, and you're wondering, yeah, should I go see somebody? Shouldn't I see somebody? Is it really that serious? My suggestion to you is, if you're asking the question, go check it out. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. Like if you had some ache or pain somewhere, and it wasn't bad, but it was kind of inhibiting your functioning, you'd go to the doctor and you'd check it out, and they'd either say, yeah, you know what, just ice it, you'll be fine, or oh gosh, there's something there. But get a good evaluation. And so if anybody out there is dealing with anxiety and they're wondering, oh, is it serious enough? I don't know, but maybe go talk to somebody and let them help you figure it out and get the good evaluation there. So whether you work with us, Maria, at CatholicCounselors.com, or you find somebody local, my suggestion would be, you know, get it in soon and start learning those techniques that are going to help your son deal with his anxiety more effectively.
Maria, thank you very, very much for that. I was thinking when you said it that if you call it behavioral telehealth, you can probably charge more for it than if you say, that sounds way fancier than telephone counseling.
It does. So we call it telephone counseling. So we're much more reasonable.
Yeah, that's very Catholic of you. But to follow up just for a quick second on Maria's question. So say I'm a parent. I've got this anxious child. I do decide, yes, we should probably talk to a therapist. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to go about interviewing a therapist. I don't know how to go about finding out if they're a good one or not.
Sure. Well, especially if it's a child. You want to make sure that you're working in it with a family therapist, somebody who's got a background in family therapy. Because there's a fair amount of research that talks about how kids don't tend to do very well in individual counseling. Either because they'll snow the therapist, you know, or because they don't really have the character strength to follow through with any of the recommendations that the therapist might make. Mm-hmm. So the best thing to do is to go in with your kid and work with a therapist who'll work with you and, you know, and your child to learn strategies together to create a structure in your family that would help address that anxiety. But when you're working, you know, the best therapist or the best treatment for anxiety disorders is called cognitive behavior therapy, CBT. So you want to make sure that you're talking to a therapist, one who's a family therapist, two who is trained in cognitive behavioral therapy, and make sure that they are giving you something to do at the end of a session. If you just spend the entire time kind of talking about random things, there's a place for that kind of therapy, but it's not really for this kind of problem.
Got it.
So that's more for kind of serious personality issues. And you want to work with somebody who actually gives you homework every week and says, okay, here's an exercise I want you to try out. Because anxiety responds best to that kind of structured step-by-step approach to dealing with stuff.
Fair enough. 888-318-7884, the number. Dr. Greg Popcheck, our guest. And we go now to Martha in Indiana, I think that is the town Jasper Station, or is the radio station Jasper? I think it's the town. Martha?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Good. Do you live in Jasper Station?
No, I actually live in a suburb of Jasper. It's Ferdinand, Indiana.
Oh, I gotcha. Oh, I have. So the town is, I gotcha. Okay, a little confused there. Yeah, sorry, I get that way sometimes.
That's okay. Hey, I was listening, and you've answered quite a few of my questions from the last caller. As I listened, I don't know, I guess God's really working. I really love my sister a lot, so and I wanted to know, even if she listens tonight, that you know, I'm going out of my way as usual to try to help her. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing from my standpoint. When you have family members going through things, mm-hmm. and you want to help really bad, but you don't know if you're being, you don't know if you're being effective or not. I think I'm leading toward
the family counseling thing, but is that something I could do as a sister or just?
Oh, you mean should you go to family counseling with your sister?
Yes. I've had this.
I mean, it possibly. I mean, your sister. I mean, how old is your sister?
She's almost 60.
Okay.
And I'm 56, so.
Okay, I mean, you know, it's possible. I mean, for the most part, family therapy is more for parents and kids. You know, we're talking about households, generally speaking. I mean, that's not to say, for example, we've done family counseling with, for example, sibling groups, adult siblings who are, you know, warring over their elderly parents' care, those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but for treating anxiety, I think that's more, for an adult, more of an individual therapy kind of a thing. But what I would suggest to you is two things, right? So first of all, have some resources. So, for example, if you go to CatholicCounselors.com, our website, you can get some information for your sister. And when she starts complaining about something, say, hey, you know what? I was listening to this program, and I got this information, you know, and here, why don't you check these people out? I think they could really be helpful to you. Or if you wanted to pick up the book, you know, and Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, and maybe read through it a little bit, and when she starts complaining about some of the anxiety she's experiencing, be able to use some of the techniques in the book and just sort of say, hey, you know what? I was reading about this. I'd be happy to give you my copy, you know, and just give her those resources. Being some, you know, when you have a loved one who's dealing with any kind of emotional problem, being a resource is much better than trying to fix it yourself, because you're not going to be able to fix it for her, but you can put her in touch with things that could be helpful. So having those resources is really important. The last thing I'll leave you with, though, is when she talks to you about things, you know, a lot of times when somebody comes at us and they're talking about all the things they're anxious about, we try to explain to them why they shouldn't be anxious. Mm. And that ends up making them more anxious, right? Because they feel like we don't get it, which increases that sense of disconnection, which then increases that sense of anxiety, right? So the best thing you can do when somebody comes to you and is talking about their anxiety is to empathize with them and say, gosh, I'm so sorry that you're feeling that way. I can certainly understand how that would make you feel anxious. What do you think is one small thing you'd like to do about that, right? So you're starting to engage their solution-focused brain to identify tiny steps that they could begin to take to address it. And if they can't come up with anything, then you follow it up with, well, hey, you know, I found this information about this therapist, or here's this great book that I found. Why don't you take a look at that and get some ideas for what's the next small thing that you could begin to do? And by helping them feel more connected to you, and then helping to break that problem down a little bit for them to identify that next small step, and then finally leaving them with some good resources, that's the most you can do for her, and sometimes that's all you need to do.
Martha, we have to go, so I will say thank you so much for that call. I hope that it was helpful. We just got to take a quick break. They come upon us quickly. We'll do that. We'll be right back with more. Dr. Greg Popcheck on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live. EWTN, communicating the faith.
Fallen away Catholic years and years ago, doing my own thing, and my mom and dad never gave up on me, and I know it was the Holy Rosary, and they kept after me, Philip, pray your rosary, and eventually I did. I'm a member of the Knights of the Immaculata, Maximilian Kolbe's group, I'm with the Legion of Mary, and I haven't stopped leading the rosary in nursing homes, thanks be to God.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety is the latest book from our guest, Dr. Greg Popcheck. He and his wife, Lisa, do a program called More to Life each morning on the EWTN radio network. And he is the founding director of, help me out,
the Pastoral Solutions Institute.
Pastoral Solutions
at CatholicCounselors.com.
CatholicCounselors.com is where you can go to find out all about that work. And if it's something that you are maybe feeling the need for, you can go find it at CatholicCounselors.com.
There you go.
Okay.
Well said.
Took me. That was not well
beautiful.
Said.
Beautiful. No, I'm affirming.
Thank you for affirming me. Let's go to Linda in Wisconsin, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio, channel 130. Linda, your question for Dr. Popchak.
Hi, Dr. Popchak. Thanks for taking my call. I want to let you know I listen to your program often, and you give such practical advice. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. The check's in the mail. God bless you. Appreciate it.
So, yeah, my question is for a friend of my daughter's, a very good friend of my daughter's that all went through high school all together. So I feel like I've watched this girl grow up, basically. Now they're in college, and she's a very accomplished athlete. Mm. She plays on the volleyball team for her college, but she struggles with anxiety, and it's almost, I think she has it in her daily life, but it really manifests itself when she's playing sports, and I just feel sorry for her because it becomes so crippling that she has to come out of games sometimes. You know, right in the middle of a game, she gets chest pain, she has trouble breathing, and she'll come out, and it's kind of to the point now when I watch it happen, the trainer kind of goes over to her and says, "Are you okay?" And she says, "Yeah," and they walk away like they don't even know what to do for her.
Okay. Yeah, this is actually a pretty common thing among athletes. You know, athletes are pretty driven people, and they tend to be a little perfectionistic, and perfectionism is tied to anxiety. And chances are you're going to see that. She's going to see that in lots of other areas of her life as well, but since this is probably pretty central to her identity, that's where she's going to experience it the most. Now, you know, it sounds like based on the fact that you're saying that the trainer doesn't know what to do, there are a lot of colleges with a developed sports program that will have sports psychologists on staff, sports therapists on staff who actually will do mental toughness training for athletes to kind of help them begin to address some of these kinds of things. So you might want to look into that and see if there's a good sports psychology consultant on the college campus in the sports program there, or even in the area. I've forgotten the name of the organization, but if you Google Association of Sports Psychology, it'll come up, and you can get a referral to somebody in the area. That said, one of the best things that sports psychologists talk about is the need to learn how to be in the green zone versus the gold zone, right? And the gold zone is the performance zone. When you're out there on the field, you're able to kind of stay focused and up and kind of engaged and be able to, you know, to perform, right? When you get off the field, though, or off the court, in your daughter's friend's case, you have to go back into the green zone where you can power down, basically, so that you can allow your body to relax and allow yourself to kind of mentally heal up and relax so that you're not on all the time. If you're on in the green zone, then you're burning yourself out. If you're off in the gold zone, then you're not performing at peak. It sounds like your friend's daughter is always in the gold zone. She's always in that performance zone. She doesn't know how to turn off being a performer. And so working with somebody to be able to begin to address, how do I step out of that performance mindset where I have to always be on and always be perfect and always get the right thing, and step into that more green zone place where, you know, there's a place for me to be on and there's a place for me to be off. How do I begin to do that? I think sometimes even just making that conscious for athletes that you have to choose between those two things can really be helpful. And in fact, a lot of athletes have rituals. Little rituals like they'll take out their ball cap, or they'll sit down in a certain way, or they'll have a drink of water or whatever. Like, they'll do something conscious. They'll cross themselves, right? They'll do something conscious to step out of one zone and into the other, creating those little rituals that she can do to kind of be a physical reminder that she needs to step out of the performance zone and into more of a relaxing zone could be really helpful to her as well. I do think that based on the level of intensity you're talking about, working with a professional therapist would be really important, even if you can't find a sports psychologist, but to work with anybody that kind of bring down that anxiety. But those kind of simple suggestions would be a place to start, and we do offer other ideas in Unworried, a Life Without Anxiety.
Thank you, Linda. Hope that was helpful. We go now to Hang in Omaha, Nebraska. Hang, you are on with Dr. Greg Popchak. Your question, please.
Yes, I got a question. At my work, like a month ago, they lost something, and then people pointing finger at each other, and no, I know I'm not doing it, but I just feel so nervous because I think they were pointing finger at me. And so since then, I always anxiety, always nervous. I never feel like this before, mm-hmm. but like chest pain, hard to breathe, headache. Like I even have high blood pressure.
Yeah, it's panic attack. Yeah, yeah. So let me ask you. I mean, you're saying that you're having a lot of anxiety about being kind of wrongly accused, about potentially being wrongly accused of doing these things at the workplace. Is this anxiety something new for you, or is that something that you've been struggling with for a while?
This is the first time ever because I don't want people to think that I'm going to steal anything from them. Mm-hmm. So that's just like...
Is there a reason that you feel insecure? If we laid this aside for just a second, is there any other reason that you could possibly be feeling anxious about insecure about your position at work? Is there other tension between you and the other manager or other coworkers, any of those sorts of things?
No. I caused one of the person kind of kept looking at me and paid attention to me on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened that day when they lost the bag, and I went to my car and I just prayed for the bag to come back. Mm-hmm. And in a few days, the bag is back.
All right. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful that the prayer was answered. Here's what I'd suggest to you. Okay, a lot of our anxiety is caused by the stories we tell ourselves in any experience. Okay, so in any experience we have, there are four different levels of experience going on, and we often just pay attention to the first level. The first level is what happened, the superficial thing that's happening. The second level is the story I'm telling myself about what's happening. So, for instance, in your case, something was missing at work. Then the story that's the first level. The second level is, oh my gosh, I hope that they don't accuse me of this wrongly. And what if they did? And then we do. That's called catastrophizing. I start going to this what if place of, oh my gosh, and I create all these nightmare scenarios. The third level has to do with the memories that kind of come up for me when in a new situation. So any experience I have, my right brain makes associations between the present thing and stuff that's happened to me in the past, and it sort of says, you should think about this the same way you did about that, right? And a lot of times those things are not necessarily correct. So for example, if Sai, you said something to me that reminded of something my mom said to me when I was 5 years old and I started to have a tantrum, that might make perfect sense to me, but I'd look crazy to you. Right?
Yes.
Because my right brain is reminding me, you know, of something.
Crazier.
Yeah, exactly. Because you look a lot like my mom, actually. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
No, she's a lovely woman.
Yeah. It's the beard. No. So you know, those different levels of experience, we have to kind of be aware of how those different levels are impacting my anxiety right now. So what I'd suggest to you, Hang, is to get a notebook, okay? And when you're feeling this nervousness, ask yourself, what's the story I'm telling myself about what happened? And what memories are coming up for me, okay? And then ask yourself, is this really the healthiest story I could be telling myself about this? Or maybe is there another way I could think about this? Is there another story that I could tell? And are there better experiences that I could look to? So, for example, if you're thinking of other times when somebody wrongfully accused you of something or kind of, you know, was antagonistic to you and you couldn't do anything about it, maybe you want to intentionally recall times in your life when you were working through a problem with somebody, where somebody came to you and said, hey, I'm really upset that you said this or about me or that you did that, and you were able to kind of walk them through how that wasn't you and how you were able to really handle that situation in a mature and proactive manner. So you're reminding yourself of experiences where you've confronted something like this but handled it well. So you're able to change that internal story that then affects that level of anxiety as well, so because you're able to see that, you know, that you're not comparing it to something that you shouldn't be comparing it to. We actually walk through the steps of that exercise in Unworried, so you'll take it through it and really help you do it in a more methodical way than I've got here in the time that I've got. But it's really about, for you, it's really about changing the story that you're telling yourself about that situation that's ultimately going to help you deal with the anxiety more effectively.
Hang, did you get the title of the book?
Yeah, is it Unworried?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. And you can get it at CatholicCounselors.com or any online bookstore.
Is that helpful to you?
Yes, perfect. Thank you. Yeah, I've been like praying. I even prayed the surrender of novena and all kinds of things just to help me feel better. But it's one thing. It's just like in my mind all day long. And
sure.
In the middle of the night.
You're ruminating. That's called ruminating, right? And it's just when we hear that one story and we just kind of keep unconsciously repeating it over and over and over again. So you want to get it out on paper so you can see it. When we actually write these things out, it activates a different part of your brain. It activates the part where you're reading new information for the first time. right? So even if those thoughts are in your head, but you write them down, it engages that critical part of the brain that says, is that really true? Right? But as long as it's rattling around inside my head, it makes perfect sense. This is just the way I think. This is the way I feel. This is the way it is, right? But if I put it out on paper, I'm getting it out of me and then having to try to run it back through those filters to make sure, does that really make sense? And getting that perspective can really make a big difference. Same as talking it out with people. When you have a good conversation with somebody, you hear yourself talking back to yourself, and it engages that critical editor again, too.
Hank, thank you so much for that call. Thank you to everyone who called. Thank you to everybody at EWTN for making it possible to be on the air here from Birmingham and the National Radio Catholic Radio Conference. Dr. Greg Popcheck, thank you for a very fine hour.
Pleasure. And if folks would like to learn more, then go to CatholicCounselors.com.
CatholicCounselors.com. Look, I got it right. And the book that we've been talking about, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, available now from our Sunday Visitor Press. We'll see you tomorrow. I know Jerry and Debbie are on the first hour. Is Dr. Ray going to be here for second hour? Dr. Ray will be here for second hour. Please join us again from the National Catholic Radio Conference.